Well, good morning. If you would care to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, it's where our lesson will be from this morning. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for another opportunity that you've given to us to meet together and to worship your matchless name. And Father, I pray that this morning you would give us a spirit of true worship. Enable us to bow humbly at thy feet and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Enable us to bow knowing and freely admitting we are totally and completely dependent upon your mercy and upon your grace, that you don't owe it to us. It's all of thy free gift. And cause us to stay at thy feet, knowing that there's no hope anywhere else. Cause us to continue begging thee, looking to thee, depending upon thee, depending on Christ and Christ alone for everything you require and everything that we need. And Father, I pray for ourselves and our class this morning. I pray for our children's classes. I pray for your people who are meeting everywhere around this world today. Bless your word where it's preached. Give much glory to yourself through the preaching of your word this morning. Cause your word to go forth in power, to reach the hearts of your people, to save, to comfort, to strengthen. Father, get glory to your name. Let us see your glory in our generation, in our day. We pray a special blessing for our brother Eric as he's preaching in Pikeville, that you'd bless him especially, and that you'd give him traveling mercies there and back home safe to us. And we do pray a blessing, Father, for those that you've brought into the time of trouble and trial. You know the need of all of your people everywhere. We pray a special blessing for our brother Bob Coffey, that you'd touch his body, that you'd heal him and be with him and his family in a very special way at this difficult time. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 8. I've titled the lesson this morning, If Thou Wilt. And I will confess to you how much I have enjoyed studying this this week. This is one of my very favorite interactions, I think, with the sinner coming to our Savior. And what I want us to see this morning is a picture of what happens when God saves his people. When God saves his people, he makes them clean and holy. He gives them a holy new nature, and he heals them of all their spiritual diseases. And more than just healing, I mean, sometimes we think about healing, we think, well, the Lord takes, you know, what I got and makes it better, improves it. The Lord gives his people life. When we talk about spiritual healing, the Lord gives his people life, new life, eternal life that can never be lost. And my first point about that is this, that when God heals his people, he gives them life, he does it, he reveals himself to them through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now our Lord finished preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. A multitude was there who heard him, and they followed him down that mountain. They had to say, never man spake like this man. They followed him. They were so blessed by what they'd heard. And now they're going to see, never man did like this man does. This leper that comes to our Lord, he must have come to the Lord because he snuck close enough to hear him preach. Now, according to the Mosaic law, that was against the law. But somehow this leper must have gotten close enough to hear the Lord preach. And it was hearing the master preach. That's what gave him the courage to come to the Savior. Now that's the need of every sinner. That's the need of all of us here, is to come to Christ. And the way that God has ordained for his people to come to Christ is by first hearing the gospel. You're not going to come to somebody you don't know. You're going to have to hear the gospel. That's the way God has ordained for his people to be drawn to Christ, is through the preaching of the gospel. And this man in our story this morning heard directly from the Lord in the flesh. Well, I know when you and I will come to Christ. Let me tell you, when God's pleased to speak to our hearts. Not just the flesh, when God is pleased to speak to our hearts. Now, you're going to hear from a man. If you're going to hear the gospel, you're going to hear a man preach it. But only God can speak to the heart. And when he does that, we're going to be drawn to the Savior. And God does that through preaching. All right, number two, seeing and hearing Christ by faith is going to convince us of some things. We're going to be convinced some things are true. Now, salvation is not just knowledge of the right doctrine. You know, I can take our 3, 4, 5-year-olds and I can indoctrinate them. I can get them to spit back the right doctrine. Salvation is not just knowledge. But nobody's saved apart from it. We're going to have to know who God is. We're going to have to know who Christ is. We're going to have to know who we are. And this leper did. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now this man was convinced of two things. Number one, he was convinced he was a leper. Nobody could convince him he wasn't a leper. He's convinced of that. And number two, he was convinced that the Lord Jesus had the power, the authority to heal him. Remember, we read up here in chapter 7, verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not have as the scribes. This leper was astonished too. When he heard the Lord teach, he heard his doctrine, he was astonished when he heard him speak with authority and not as the scribes, and he was convinced of this. This man has the authority. He has the power to heal me. Now you and I will come to Christ for salvation when the Holy Spirit convinces us of two things. Number one, when the Spirit convinces us that we are a dead sinner. We have no hope. We can't do anything for ourselves. And number two, when he convinces us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. If God the Holy Spirit will convince us of that, nobody will stop us from coming to Christ. And this leper came to Christ. And it's very significant that a leper came to Christ. Because leprosy, all throughout Scripture, is a picture of sin. And it's a good one, too. Because leprosy does to the body what sin does to the soul. Leprosy was a particular mark of God's wrath. Remember when King Uzziah went in and burnt incense before the Lord? The priest told him, "This doesn't pertain to you. You can't go before the Lord without a high priest." And he did it anyway. And God struck him with leprosy as a sign, a token of his wrath. You cannot come to God without a high priest. There's got to be a mediator between us and God. Well, that's you and me. We've sinned against God. And we're under the wrath of God. But Christ, he came to turn God's wrath away from his people by turning it upon himself. Then second, leprosy has no human cure. As a matter of fact, it was unlawful for a man to try to heal leprosy. Men, that just wasn't given to men. Well, that's sin. Sin has no human cure. False religion makes up all kinds of cures for it, and all it is snake oil. There's no cure. And the gospel makes it unlawful for us to try to heal ourselves of our sin. The gospel makes it unlawful for us to try to earn our way to God by our works, to try to heal ourselves by our works. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can heal sin. And here's good news. There's no case of spiritual leprosy that is so bad the blood of Christ can't make us clean. Number three, leprosy. You know, we think of leprosy as a skin disease, but leprosy is not a disease of the skin. Leprosy attacks the blood, the flesh, the bones, the organs, the eyes, the ears. It just rots away the flesh and the extremities fall off. Well, sin is not an outward disease. Sin is not what we do. Sin is what we are. It's in our blood. We're conceived in sin. And sin rots us from the inside out. Now, we see the outside. The outside's bad. I'm not excusing it. But that's not the problem. The problem is the sin is in the heart. And sin affects all of our senses. It affects our heart. It affects our nature. It affects our understanding. It affects our memory. Sin destroys everything. And it's from the inside out. Sin's an inward problem, not an outward problem. And then this leper, he was cut off from everything holy. He was cut off from religion. It was against the law for him to go to the temple. He couldn't do it. Well, that's what sin's done to us. Our sin has separated us from our God by making us unfit to be in His holy presence. Then fifth, the old Jews called leprosy the living death. And that's what sin is, isn't it? It's a living death. And it began that way. Remember, God put Adam in the garden and He told him, eat all these trees you want except this one in the center of the garden. And He said, Adam, on the day you eat that fruit, I command you not to eat. Dying thou shalt die. That's the literal translation of what the Lord said. Dying thou shalt die. And the moment Adam took that fruit and ate it in open rebellion against God, he died. He died spiritually. He lived another 900 years physically. He was alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. He was alive mentally. He could still think. He could come up with some excuses to God. Why I did this? What was the woman that you gave me? He'd come up with some excuses. He was alive mentally, but he was dead spiritually. Well, that's the nature we're born with. The only nature our parents had to pass on to us was Adam's dead sin nature. So we're left with one hope, with one cry, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This living death, this spiritual leprosy. Sixth, the Jews did not consider leprosy to be a sickness. They didn't think of it as an illness. They considered it an uncleanness. Now that's sin. Sin is not just what we do, although that's bad enough, but sin is an uncleanness. It's not a sickness we can overcome. It's an uncleanness that has defiled our souls. And sin, now it must be paid for. Sin must be forgiven. And we're going to see this in just a moment, the importance of this. Sin must be cleansed. Sin must be healed. It's not just a sickness, it's an uncleanness. Seventh, when someone came down with leprosy, they were sent to the priest. They weren't sent to a doctor because there's no human cure. They were sent to the priest. The doctor couldn't do anything for them. Matter of fact, the priest couldn't either. All the priest could do is say you're clean or you're unclean. But there was no human help for a leper. And that's sinners. That's you and me. Sinners, at least if God sends us a man to tell us the truth, are not sent to religion to find a way to clean up our sin. Sinners are not sent to the law or our works of the law to try to clean up our act and do something for our sin, our spiritual leprosy, because religion, the law, and our works can't do anything for us. Sinners, if they would have any hope, must be sent to Christ, the great high priest. He's the only one who can help us. Now, eighth, we can hope to escape being a leper. Leprosy is not a disease we see much in our world today. Fred, it may be in the world somewhere, but not typically in the United States. It's not something. I mean, nobody woke up today thinking, I hope I don't catch leprosy or shaking somebody's hand. You know, nobody thought of that because it's something you just don't think about. I'll tell you what. Unfortunately, we think about the same thing about sin. You know, we don't think about it as often probably as we should. Nobody can escape being a sinner. Nobody can. Nobody is exempt from Adam's sinful nature. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God so that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. Thankfully, there's a hope. Aren't you thankful there's a hope? It's Christ. And then last, lepers were required to walk around crying, unclean, unclean, so that nobody would come close to them. They wouldn't infect anybody else. Now, we can cry unclean, unclean, all we want to. And we ought to admit that. We ought to admit that about ourselves. But you know what? If we have children, it's too late. We've already infected somebody else. We've already given them our sin nature. so that our children are left in the same boat we are, with one hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Luke, when he writes about this leper, Luke tells us that this man was full of leprosy. And that is both awful and, I don't know if you can say good news, hopeful. Maybe it's awful and hopeful at the same time. Because a leper, if he was going to be clean, if he was going to be pronounced clean, first he had to be full of leprosy. A leper couldn't just have, you know, a few spots on him and then those spots would go away and he'd be pronounced clean. If one healthy spot existed anywhere on that leper before he seemed to be clean, the priest could not pronounce him clean, could not pronounce him healed. Now, why is that significant? Well, it's because you and I are full of sin. And we have to see ourselves as full of sin. We have to see ourselves completely covered inside and out with sin. From the sole of our foot to the top of our head, we can't see any soundness in us. The only thing we can see about ourselves is sin. I mean, and it's wretched. It's an uncleanness. It's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So that you can't put your finger on one healthy spot in me anywhere. And if we think we can find one healthy spot, just a pinprick of a healthy spot in us, we will never be made clean, ever, because God won't have it. See, our cleansing, our salvation has to be completely because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think we've got one healthy spot left in us, before God saves us, you know what we're going to say? I had something to do with it. God saved me and not that other fella because he's full of sin and I had this clean spot. We take some credit for it. And Scripture's plain on this. Salvation is not by works of righteousness as we've done. It's according to God's mercy. God's mercy to his people in Christ. Salvation is all Christ. It's all of God's mercy. It's all of God's grace. It's all of Christ's blood. It's all of his righteousness. Salvation is all in Christ. And that's why we must be full of leprosy. We must see ourselves as nothing but sin before God will save us. Then thirdly, there's a matter of worship here. This leper came and worshiped. Well, we will worship Christ when we hear him and see him by faith. This leper came and worshiped the Lord. And I looked at that. There's a couple key elements about true worship here. Number one is humility. Now, what is humility? Humility is an accurate view of ourselves. It's not a false humility. It's not, you know, saying, you know, I'm not good at something when really I am. It's an accurate view of ourselves. Well, for you and me, humility is going to be lowliness of mind. It's going to to see ourselves as low and so low that we are completely unworthy of God's attention. Not just God's mercy. We're unworthy of his attention. That's this leper. He's humble, isn't he? He knows what he is. He knows what he deserves. That's why he came begging for mercy. Now that's worship. Worship is an accurate view of myself and an accurate view of God, so that I come begging God for mercy, knowing I don't deserve it. Number two, worship is admitting God's crown rights to do with me as he pleases. And whatever he does with me is right. Now, I can't complain about it. If God refuses to show me mercy, I can't complain about it. And if he does, I can't brag. Because it's his crown rights. Mercy is sovereign mercy. True worship always says about every situation, Lord, if you will. Lord, if you will. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can reveal your Son to me and in me. If you will, you can show me mercy. You can show me grace. If you will, you can save me. If you will. See, there's no doubt about the Lord's ability to save, is there? None whatsoever. He's God. Salvation is a question of willingness. Now, that's very different than what you're going to hear in about every place in this town this morning. Salvation is a question not of my willingness to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Salvation is a question of God's willingness to show mercy to me and accept me in Christ, even though I don't deserve it. And then third, God is truly worshipped for who He is. For who He is. Not because of what He's done for us. This leper, much like the Syrophoenician woman, another one of my very favorite stories of a sinner coming to Christ, both this leper and that woman, you know what they did? They worshiped the Lord before the Lord ever did anything for them. This leper, he didn't know if the Lord was going to heal him or not. He didn't know if he was. But he worshiped the Lord before he knew if the Lord would do anything for him or not. He worshiped the Lord because the Lord is to be worshiped. Simply because who He is. It's the only right relationship between God and us that we worship Him. This leper, he's miserable. I mean, I can't imagine how miserable this man is. He's defiled. He's diseased. He's outcast from society. I don't think I've ever read this anywhere, but I just bet you a leper who's full of leprosy is even an outcast in a leper colony. Wouldn't you reckon? I mean, how miserable is this man? And in his misery, he comes to the Lord and worships. Not because the Lord relieved his misery, but the Lord is to be worshipped. And the word worship that Matthew uses here, it means to kiss. It means to lick the master's hand, like a dog licks his master's hand. It's to come to the master, like a bad dog, seeking forgiveness. And everybody, every sinner who ever comes to Christ for mercy comes just like this leper. Like a dog licking his master's hand. Like a bad dog coming seeking forgiveness from the master. It's the only proper relationship between God and me. All right, here's the fourth thing. When Christ reveals himself to his people, he always says, now, I love what this leper says. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I incorporate that phrase into my prayers almost every day. Lord, if you will. He didn't know if Christ would have mercy on him or not. But he knew he had the power to heal him. And he's willingly submitting to God's will. Whatever he does with me is fine by me. And if you and I would be saved, we're going to have to come to a sovereign Savior. A sovereign Savior. And by sovereign, I mean there's nothing we can do to get Him to do anything for us. It's completely up to Him. God does not have to have mercy on you and me. He doesn't have to. You know, He doesn't have to because we come and bow at His feet. He doesn't have to because we say some magic words. God does not have to have mercy on anybody. Now, He's going to have mercy on somebody, isn't He? I know that because what did God tell Moses? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So God's going to have mercy on somebody. I just don't know if it'll be me or not. God doesn't owe me anything except His wrath. God does owe me that. But I do know this. If He will, He can surely save my sinful soul. I know that. He can do what I can't do. He can do what the law can't do, and that it's weak through the flesh. He can save my sinful soul. There is no doubt about the ability of Christ to put my sin away. There's power in the blood. And there's no sin so great that the blood of Christ cannot wash it white as snow. If He will. I don't know if You will. But Lord, I know that You can. And I'm not going anywhere. If I'm going to perish, I'm going to perish at the feet of Christ. Because there's no hope anywhere else. So I love what this leper says. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And I love the Lord's answer even more. Verse 3 says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." I love the Lord's tender and gracious attitude toward this miserable wretch. He didn't argue back and forth with this fella to see if he was sincere. He didn't object because he was so gross looking. He was so diseased and so full of sin. The Lord just reached out his hand and touched him and said, I will. Mark says in his account of this that the Lord was moved with compassion. Can you imagine such a thing? The Lord of glory is moved with compassion toward miserable wretches like this fella. Maybe he'd be moved with compassion for a miserable wretch like this fella. Oh, it could be. But I tell you, nothing gets sweeter, man, than the God of glory moved with compassion for a sinner and to be able to hear the words from his lips, I will. Now, Christ, aren't you glad you're sent to Christ rather than the law and religion? He's so much better. You just can't even compare. All the law can do is kill us. All the law can do is say whether we're clean or unclean. But there's no power there. There's no power to heal. There's no power to forgive. There's no power to remove sin. Christ doesn't just pronounce his people clean like this is a royal pronouncement and nobody, you know, can argue against it. He makes his people clean by washing them in his blood. And the Lord reached out and touched this leper. Now remember, he couldn't reach out and touch a clean spot on this man. He's full of leprosy, but the Lord, the Master, touched him. Can you imagine how that touch felt? Nobody touched this fella in years. But the touch of the Master, when he was moved with compassion, can you imagine how that felt? This leper, his skin was crusty and white, it was cracked and dry. Where a beard or hair is, there's just little, from what I read, stiff white stubble. You rub your finger across that stubble, and skin would come off with it. I mean, he's just, oh, so diseased. I read that a leper, when he's full of leprosy, at the end of his disease, like this man is, could hold an apple in his hand for an hour, and it would look like it had been out in the sun for a week. He's so hot, nobody would touch this man. He hadn't felt a human touch in years, and the Lord did. He touched him. Now, isn't that the touch of God's grace? You know how that feels to be a wretch, guilty, your sins are sending you to hell, and you know you're getting what you deserve? That the disease of sin has affected every part of you, and your soul is racked with sin, so that you finally cry for mercy. And to hear the Savior say, I will, and to touch your heart, you're never the same again. And now, you bask in His grace. You bask in the warmth of His presence, because He did for you what nobody else would or could do. He touched you. He touched you and made you whole. Now, anybody who would touch a leper would become unclean. So what about this, the Savior, touching this leper? Well, it could be that it was actually His Word that healed the leper. When the Lord, there's this power in His Word. He said, I will. I will. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. See, there's power in the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word. We go verse by verse through the Word of God because there's power in God's Word to make sinners see and believe Christ. But the Lord did touch this man. I think that's a picture of what's going to happen in a couple years probably from this point in Matthew chapter 8. When the Savior goes to Calvary, He's going to be made unclean. He's going to be made guilty. When He takes all of the sin of His people into His body
on the tree.
And he's going to put those sins away through the sacrifice of himself, by shedding his precious blood to wash and cleanse that sin away. And then it's going to be gone forever. That's how we're healed from our spiritual leprosy. By his stripes, by his suffering, by his death, we're healed. Now look at verse 4. I want to show you one more thing. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. The Lord sends this leper to the high priest to fulfill the law concerning lepers, and we're not going to look at it for time's sake. If you want, you can read it this afternoon, Leviticus chapter 14, and you'll see all throughout that ceremony a picture of redemption in Christ. What I want us to see here is the salvation in Christ satisfies God's holy law. It satisfies all of God's holy character. The day's coming that the law is going to announce everyone for whom Christ died is not guilty, is clean. When the Lord sends this man to the priest, he shows himself to the priest. The law is going to tell everybody, this leper has been cleansed. And that salvation in Christ, it's so full and it's so complete, God's holy law says, we're not guilty. But the Lord told this man, See thou tell no man. And I wonder why he said that. It would not seem that the Lord meant for this man not to tell anybody what great things God had done for him. It doesn't seem like that, because a great multitude followed the Lord. A great multitude saw the Lord heal this man. So it doesn't seem like that the Lord would mean for him not to tell anybody at all. It could mean this. It could mean, don't you tell anybody about this. Don't you stop. You go straight to the priest. Don't you stop and talk to anybody. So that somebody can't say, well, it wasn't the Lord who healed you. It was somebody else. Don't do that. But I think he likely means this. Tell the story. But don't you tell it in a way that you get any glory. Don't you tell the story in such a way that, well, Christ healed you because you did everything right. You came to him the right way. You heard the preaching. And don't tell it that way. You tell the story, but you tell it right. So that Christ gets all the glory. He's the one in his sovereign will and power who cleansed you. But whatever the Lord meant there, I do know this. The man told the story. He told the story. How could he not? How could he not? Do you imagine that he enjoyed telling this story to folks, what the Lord had done for him? I bet you other lepers like to hear the story, don't you? Oh, they did. I tell you, one more time, I'm going to tell you. You come to Christ. Right now, where you sit, you come to Christ. Your disease, your sin, that's not what's damning you. What damns our souls is our refusal to come to the Savior. It's our insistence on having our own righteousness and not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of Christ. It's not submitting ourselves to his crown rights to do with me as he will. And somebody will say, well, you know, maybe I'll come to him, but what if he doesn't will? Well, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? He doesn't have to. But I know this, the Lord himself promised that all who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Then, brother, I'm coming. I mean, I'm coming begging for mercy. And I, like I said a minute ago, I'm staying right there. I'm coming to his feet, and I'm begging for mercy, and I'm not going anywhere. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And this I can promise you. If one day God enables you to quit hearing a preacher, and God speaks to your heart, and he touches your heart, you'll never be the same. And I'm glad for that. I'm real tired of being me. I am real tired of being like Adam. I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to be made clean. I want to be made holy. I want to be made like Christ. And that's what he does for his people, in his power and his compassion for them. All right. I hope the Lord bless that too.